On January 12, 2007, at 7:51 a.m., an experiment began that was sponsored by the Washington Post newspaper. A young musician took his position against a wall in the metro station of Washington, D.C. subway. He was wearing jeans, long-sleeved black shirt, and a baseball cap, Washington Nationals baseball cap. He opened his violin case and threw in a little money for seed money, and he began to play the violin. He played for the next 43 minutes, played six classical pieces. During that 43 minutes, 1,097 people walked by him. They tossed in a total of $32.17 to his violin case. But of that 1,097 people, only seven stopped for longer than a minute to listen to what he was playing. And of those seven, only one recognized him. His name was Joshua Bell. And 3 days prior, he had filled the Boston Symphony Hall, where the tickets started at $100 a piece. Joshua Bell's talent and artistry usually commands about $1,000 a minute. But when performing on this day in the subway, he barely earned enough to buy a cheap pair of shoes at Walmart. Now, you can't fault the instrument. It was a $3.5 million Stradivarius. You can't fault the performance. He played flawlessly pieces that Johann Sebastian Bach had written. So why didn't people notice him? Why did they just hurry by? Why did they ignore the gift that he was giving them? Maybe they didn't think a really high-class performer would be performing in the subway. Maybe they assumed that he was just a run-of-the-mill guy trying to earn money for his lunch or his drugs or his flop house. Maybe people were too busy to notice their surroundings at all. Or maybe they just didn't like classical music. It wasn't their style. Still others might have been too wrapped up in their worry or their fears or their anger to stop and notice something beautiful. So all of them failed to recognize the genius among them. They missed the greatness and the beauty that might have enriched their day or their lives. Sadly, the same thing happens with Jesus. He wasn't recognized either. John wrote, "He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world didn't know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people didn't accept him." God has always been knowable, visible to humanity, even before Jesus became a human and walked the earth. One of the ways that God reveals himself is in creation. St. Paul expressed it best. "What may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have clearly been seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without an excuse." I have an art teacher that I've had for 40 years. And one of the things that he's drilled into us over the years is art is about learning how to see more than it is about learning how to paint. I could say, I think, that Christianity is the same. It's learning about how to see as much as it is about how to live. How to see God in places, in people, in ourselves. One of my favorite places in the whole world, as many of you know, is Glacier National Park. which is in Montana. And one of my favorite places in Glacier National Park is a place called Running Eagle Falls. And it looks like this. I sat by that beautiful waterfall as I do every summer. But this year, I was working on this at the time. And I sat there and I thought, I'm going to think about all the ways I see God in that beautiful sight. I saw him in the power of that water, the power that cuts through the mountain to come out through the middle of it rather than over the top. I saw God in the purity of that water, in the abundance of that water, in the beauty of that place. And that helps me know some of the attributes of my Creator. But I had to sit there and really think about it in order to see that. Another way that I think we can recognize God is through revealed truths. We couldn't know anything about God unless he chose to reveal himself through it. And so he's given us a whole bunch of ways of revealing truth through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of Scripture, through the prophets, through the church. And of course, the number one revelation of God is Jesus. He is the visible revelation of God the Father, who came to what was his own. But I'm afraid a lot of us treat him like the people on the subway treated Joshua Bell. We don't recognize him. We don't see him. We ignore him and the gift he's given. We turn away because we're just too busy. So John wrote, he came to what was his own, but his own didn't accept him. One example is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Jesus had been out traveling around the countryside. He'd been telling parables. He'd been teaching people. The crowds were really growing. He'd fed some people on the hillside. He'd performed miracles, restoring sight to the blind, making the crippled walk, healing the woman who'd been to many doctors and nobody could help her. He was becoming famous, so to speak. The word about him was spreading. And then he went home to Nazareth. And Matthew says, he began teaching in their synagogue. Now, the synagogue was the center of the community. It was the center of worship, and therefore it was the center of the whole community life. It was the place where Jesus would have been very much at home. He'd been going there his whole life. It was the custom of the synagogues in that day that when a visiting rabbi was in the area, they would ask him to speak at the synagogue. And so someone asked Jesus, because his reputation had obviously preceded him. So they asked Jesus to speak. Matthew tells us that at first, his friends were astonished. I wonder why they were astonished. They were astonished at what he was saying, obviously. Or maybe they were astonished that he was even asked to speak. So they said, well, wait a minute. Who is this guy? I mean, why is he being asked to speak? Isn't he the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother Mary? Don't we know his family? Where is he getting all this stuff? And they took offense at him. Now, it's true that an evangelist has the least success in evangelizing his own family. A therapist friend once told me, I can never give therapy to my relatives. They won't listen to a word I say. It's like a mom and a kid, right? If you grow up with somebody, if you know them extremely well, you see them warts and all. And it's hard to listen to what they have to say because you know their faults and their failures. But the thing is, Jesus didn't have those. He didn't have faults or sin that people could condemn. But you don't have to be wrong to be criticized. The Pharisees had criticized Jesus for breaking the law, God's law. He never did that. They criticized him for hanging around with the wrong people, tax collectors and sinners. Jesus was not doing the wrong thing. At one point, someone must have claimed he was a wino and a glutton, he said. He wasn't. But the truth doesn't stop a critic. The people in Jesus' hometown took offense because the little bit of knowledge they had about Jesus prevented them from seeing him as anything more than the hometown boy. And their lack of faith was damaging because Matthew says he was unable to work miracles because their lack of faith prevented him. I see in Nazareth some of the things that I see in me that damages my faith, that keeps me from recognizing Jesus and God in all the places that he comes. For example, the people in Nazareth were affected by their pride. Maybe they could accept Jesus was a good person. I mean, they knew him. They'd lived with him longer than anybody had, years longer. But they only thought they knew him. They thought he was just like them. And they were offended then that he would be trying to teach them. What was offended among the people? Their pride was offended. The people of Nazareth didn't recognize Jesus because of their ignorance. They thought they knew more than they did. True, he was the carpenter's son. True, his mom and probably his grandparents were a part of their community, as was his whole family. The hometown boy, they thought, was just like them. And he was, in all the ways but sin, as Paul would later say. He was so much more, and they needed to recognize that. Now I'm thinking, well, yeah, but I mean, how can we expect them to recognize his divinity at this point? Well, maybe they weren't supposed to recognize his whole message, the whole divinity. But they knew of his miracles. They knew of his feeding the throngs. They knew of his healings. And they should have known that he wasn't like them by what he did and what he said. They saw his humanity, but they refused to see what they couldn't understand. So they ignored what they couldn't understand. Because of their pride and their ignorance, the people of Nazareth made the wrong choice. Rather than believe what they couldn't understand or accept what their pride denied, they rejected him, the one who could have done such wonderful things for him. And many years later, John would write, he came to what was his own, but his own people didn't accept him. Today, do we recognize him in our world? Or does our pride get in the way? Maybe our smug scientific view of creation removes the wonder of it. It would be a totally different experience to sit in front of that waterfall and think, yeah, that's beautiful, but I know what causes it. It comes from the snow on top of the mountain, and gravity's pulling it downhill, and there's a lot of water because there was a lot of snow last winter, and we don't leave room for God in our view of creation. Or maybe our pride gets in the way of recognizing Jesus in some other ways he comes to us, specifically what he has told us in the Eucharist. I can't explain that. I don't understand that. How can that little thing be a body and blood? And so we reject it. We don't recognize Jesus there. Or maybe we don't recognize Jesus in other people, especially in the people who have hurt us. Does our ignorance interfere with our recognition of Jesus? Do we have this attitude like, oh, I know all I need to know about religion. I learned all that in catechism or in Sunday school, wherever you developed your faith. I don't need to keep growing. I don't need to study. I don't need to meditate. I don't know how to pray very well. I don't need to forgive instead of hold on to that judgment. Pride and ignorance make us fail to accept our Lord today. So, we make the wrong choice sometimes when faced with Jesus in the world, in our decisions. Are we like the people in the subway, passing by what God has put right in front of us? The Catechism says, in paragraph 454, to call yourself a Christian, one must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What you believe is a choice. It's amazing to me what some people choose to believe. They'll deny the existence of God, but believe in aliens. Or mood rings. Or the idea that we can do the same things in our relationships over and over and over again is going to lead to a different conclusion this time. We refuse to believe what the Bible says, but we listen to what Dan Brown said in the Da Vinci Code. Somehow, some of us have become convinced of some of the goofiest things. And that's because belief is a choice, ultimately. When we can't understand and we're asked to believe, we have to make the choice. Because God will honor those choices. When God chose to come to earth, He didn't come to Rome or Egypt or Japan, even though all of those countries had ancient and very advanced civilizations. But He came home. He came to His own people, the Jews, the people that He'd prepared to receive Him since He'd given them the promised land in Abraham. He'd given them the law to reveal Himself. He'd given them covenants to have a relationship with Him. He'd even forecast His coming through the prophets. But still, when He came, though some believed and were greatly enriched and blessed, most of His own people chose to reject Him. And His hometown of Nazareth is just one example. Their pride convinced them He was just like them, and therefore less than He really was. Their ignorance allowed them to see only what their eyes could discern or their minds could understand, and they missed what their hearts needed to hear. Their choice, then, was to reject, be offended, rather than accept and be blessed. And we have the same choice. To believe what we can't understand, accept what's almost too wonderful to believe, or miss the gift that God gives us in so many ways every day. Let's not be like the people in the subway station, too busy, too distracted, too prideful, too ignorant to see the magnificence of what God has put before us. Let it not be said of us that He came to us and we refused to accept Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, please forgive us when we fail to see You in Your world, in each other, or even in ourselves. Please open our minds to know Your truth. Open our hearts to feel Your love. Open our hands to serve each other. We ask this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.